Jeremiah chapter 40, verses 7 to 16. Gedaliah prospers, but. Gedaliah prospers, but. Let me go over the episode. Gedaliah has been left in charge of the people who remain in Judea. Babylon has now conquered Judah and razed Jerusalem, really, to the ground. The walls are broken. The city is in ruins. And the Babylonians have dragged away the exiles back to Babylon. But the rulers in Babylon have left the remnants, the poor of the people, the ragtag, the bubble people, they've left them, the riffraff, as they would say, in Jerusalem and in Judea to act as kind of slave workers. And this Gedaliah has been appointed, this Gedaliah son of Ahikam, he's appointed governor over the land, over this motley riffraff, as they would call it in Babylon. He's in charge of the men, women, and children who were the poorest in the land and who had not been carried into exile to Babylon. Verse 7 and so on. Now, people start flocking back to Jerusalem to take part in this new setup. First of all, verse 7, we have all the army officers and their men who had been out in the open country and not been actually captured and mopped up by the Babylonian army. When they heard that Gedaliah was in charge, they came back, and they came, verse 8, and they settled among the people there. But it wasn't only the army officers and their men. Jeremiah also, verse 6, we saw that in the previous discourse. Jeremiah opted to stay in Jerusalem with Gedaliah among the people who were left behind in the land. And then verses 11 to 12, we have all the exiles come back, the Jews in Moab, Ammon, Edom, and all the other countries where they had fled for safety in the time of war. They heard about this new regime. They came to Gedaliah at Mizpah from all the countries where they had been scattered. And it seems things were settling down very well. They harvested an abundance of wine and summer fruit. It was a successful harvest. There was some measure of prosperity. It was nothing like it should be, of course. It was a punishment and judgment from God. But nevertheless, there seemed to be a measure of peace and prosperity and purpose in life there for these people. But in my title, I had Gedaliah prospers. Well, you may say, the remnant in Jerusalem and Judea prospered. But, and there was a but. And the but is in a certain man, in verse 8, Ishmael. This Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. This Ishmael came among the army officers that returned with the other army, the army men, when they came back to Gedaliah from out in the field. This Ishmael. Now, Johanan, verse 13, Johanan, son of Korea, and all the army officers still in the open country came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and they said to him, "Now we know something about this Ishmael. Don't you know that Ishmael is in the pay of Balis, king of the Ammonites?" Verse 14. He's been sent back in amongst all these exiles to and these soldiers and so on with the express purpose of assassinating you. Now, we can understand that. At the moment, there's a mass migration of exiles from certain countries into the West. And of course, many of these may be genuine. Many of these may be genuine asylum seekers. But it's almost certain, and I'm sure the governments realize it, that amongst these absolutely bona fide asylum seekers, there will be those who are up to mischief and worse. And this is what's going on here. Ishmael was in the pay of the Ammonites. And Johanan warned Gedaliah. And he would have taken action to defend the state, to defend this governor. Let me go and kill Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Let me deal with it. Let me nip this in the bud now. Why should he take your life and cause all the Jews who were gathered around you to be scattered and the remnant of Judah to perish? But Gedaliah, for some reason, is he an innocent abroad? Is he naive? He says, don't do such a thing. What you are saying about Ishmael is not true. Of course, there was much intrigue at this time, much deception. There was lies, stratagems, cheatings going on, saying one thing and doing another, and all the rest of it. It would have been very difficult, but whatever the reason, Gedaliah did not believe. And this stored up a tremendous harvest, a disastrous harvest for bad. Gedaliah prospers, but. So what can we make of it? Well, I would make such things as this. Sin always complicates things. Sin always ruins things. Sin always mars things. Sin brings misery. Sin is the great enemy. It's not self-esteem and self-satisfaction and pleasure that we need to provide for sinners. It's salvation from sin. Sin is the great enemy. I agree with Isaac Watts in his hymn, Sweet is the Word, My God, My King. When he says this, sin, when he's speaking about glory, sin, my worst enemy before, shall vex my eyes and ears no more. And not only the eyes and the ears, sin vexes the heart and the mind. It takes away peace, it takes away sleep, it takes away safety, it takes away life. Sin complicates, sin ruins, sin mars it all. Adam brought in a tremendous harvest of evil. Oh, the serpent said, you will know something. You will know something you don't know before. If you take the forbidden fruit, you will know. Yes, Adam did know. And look what he got to know. Look what he's passed on to us. Misery and ruin, lies and deceit, trouble, catastrophe. If only Israel had learned. If only Judah had obeyed the prophets, the true prophets, and not listened to the false prophets. If only they had returned to the Lord and obeyed the covenant and kept the law and walked in the ways of God, none of this would have happened. But you see, the slippery slope. Once they're on it, down, down, down it goes. And here is Gedaliah prospering, maybe congratulating himself and thinking, well, what a peaceful time. But, and what a but it is, sin is waiting at the door. And what troubles will come of that? May God teach us to watch the least step along the slippery slope. You know, when a train is traveling along a track, at the points, the change of direction of the rails is imperceptible. But the two trains passing along, one on one branch and the other along the other, will end up in very different terminuses, very different places. Oh, may God give us grace to stop the opening of the sluice gates, for once they're opened, the floods will pour through. May we learn. May we learn wisdom and act upon it from this passage. Gedaliah prospers, but...